As we read from two different Psalms, the first one is Psalm 145. Psalm 145, I have to say that was good singing. That hasn't been sung. I haven't sung that for years. And I was trying it out this morning with the organist as people were gathering in, and it wasn't pleasant. But we got there in the end, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece to sing. Psalm 145 and verse 1, this is what one commentator calls David's crown jewel of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Then we turn to Psalm 23, this little psalm we've been considering together. So familiar now that we don't need to turn it up, but we will. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So reads God's word to our hearts today. Last Sunday morning, as we looked at our little series on the divine shepherd and his flock, we were looking at Psalm 23 and verse 4, where I thought about the security of our relationship, because David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's a reality that we all have to face. One day, we'll have to pass through this great thing called death. Sometimes it can easily send a shiver down our spines, but the Bible reminds us that's appointed unto men once to die. It doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter what age we are. The fact is, we'll one day keep this great appointment with death. But isn't it tremendous to know, as the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes it's hard to find comfort in the midst of death. Sometimes it's hard to find comfort in the days that follow that death. But you know, even in death itself, we can find comfort with the Savior's presence. And knowing the death for the believer is just a release from this old world as we make our way home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. Today we come to verse 5, what I'm calling the consolation of our relationship. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Some lovely descriptive terms are used in this verse. I want to try to explain some of them in the context of what was on David's mind. I want you to see here the protection that is envisaged. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Stories told of a young girl brought up in a very strict Christian home. She'd been misbehaving badly, very badly in fact, and so she was disciplined by her daddy, and she was made to spend some time alone, and she was kept apart from the rest of the family all day. I suppose in our terms, she was grounded. Many of the boys and girls know what it is to be grounded. But things were so bad, they wouldn't let her take part in any of the family's activities that day. And when it came to mealtime, the family sat down together around the table. But she came into the room and noticed that there was a little table for her over in the corner where she had to sit all by herself. When her father prayed just before their meal, he mentioned the rest of the family by name. But he didn't mention the little girl, and he just turned around and he gave thanks. And just as they were about to lift their knife and fork to start into their meal, the little girl bowed her head and she said, Lord, I thank you that you have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I don't think that's what David had in mind. Not by any means. But it's important that we do understand what he has in mind. Because remember that David's thoughts are twofold. He was a shepherd himself, and so he knew much about the shepherd's role. He knew about the care and protection that sheep so desperately needed in the days in which he lived, when they were subject to so many different things. He also knew, as a child of God, that he enjoyed so much from God's hand of care and protection in his own life. David speaks here about his enemies. David had encountered many of them throughout his life. No man could have risen to a place of prominence like David did without trampling on a few toes along the way. No man could have faced the battles that he fought and won the victories that he won without leaving some enemies along the way. So when it came to enemies, David knew what he was talking about. He had them both from within and without his own family. But when he speaks in connection with the shepherd and the sheep themselves had many enemies to overcome, and they too needed the protection of the shepherd. We have to understand that in David's day, things were different as far as shepherding sheep were concerned than it is today. There were no vets on call then. There were very few who could offer assistance. Very often the shepherd was away from home. Very often he was in a place that was difficult and dangerous. There was nobody to call upon. So it was his responsibility to look after the welfare of the sheep, and the sheep always came first. But the sheep had their enemies. They were vulnerable creatures. Wandering off from the flock could leave them easy prey for wild animals as they roamed the area looking for food. They were a very valuable commodity in those days, so they could easily have been stolen by gangs of thieves, and the shepherd had to be alert at all times. They were subject to disease and pests. They were often under great duress, so the shepherd had to be aware of their every need. Let's take that for a moment. Let's just pause. As David thinks about the sheep and the care of the shepherd, let us for a moment think about our shepherd. His responsibility toward us, the care and protection that he gives to us continually, because the truth is that all of us have enemies to face. All of us. Someone has said that our enemies are numerous, they're powerful and cruel, and the fight can be fierce and prolonged and exhausting. Say, Pastor, that is nothing like my life. Well, I'll take you today, if you wish, to go to meet some who are going through those battles. And they're fierce. And they've been prolonged. They've been going on now for a long time. And they're numerous. And some of them are exhausted today. And they need to be reminded of the shepherd's care. You see, none of us today have to go very far in the Christian life without facing enemies. There are dangers that we have to face as we journey through life. The world is changing. Our faith is under attack. 10 years ago, you might not have heard somebody coming onto the radio to talk about holding atheistic camps in this little province of ours, so blessed with the gospel. But then, of course, we've been warned about things like that for the last 20 years. But what we have done very often in church life is, like those on the Titanic, we're setting out the deck chairs in nice straight rows, even though the ship's sinking. And many of us today are not aware of the dangers that there are for the believer and for local churches, because very often today there's the danger of losing ground spiritually to the enemy, the danger of losing our effectiveness in the world in which we live, the danger of being so far apart from that world outside that we don't know what's going on around us and we don't know what's happening in homes on our doorstep. There's sometimes the danger of being so apart that we don't even live in the real world. And there are spiritual diseases to cope with. You say to me, Pastor, what do you mean spiritual diseases? What about the disease of compromise? Where 10, 15, 20 years ago in our Christian lives, we would never have tolerated someone standing and saying to me, this Bible's not relevant. And sometimes we go home questioning, is it God's word? There's a disease called complacency. Where many of us were on fire for God one time. The flame's almost extinguished and now we can take spiritual things or leave them, depending when it suits us. There's a disease called carelessness. It's not that we don't love the Lord. It's not that we're not interested in the Lord's work. It's just that we've become careless with our whole attitude toward Christian things. Folks, there are dangers today. There are enemies to face. There are parasites that's getting in under our skin in the Christian life and taking us away from the place where God wants us to be. David says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. From a personal point of view, David had a sense of his own security. He didn't have to continually look over his shoulder. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God would protect him. He knew that all of his resources were found in God and found in God alone. This table David has in mind is thought to be a plateau. Right up on the very top of the mountain, an area where there was lush grass, where the sheep could feed and feed at their leisure with plenty of grass. It was like a little raised table where the sheep were not attacked by insects and pests. It was a place where the sheep could all be together. And it offered the shepherd a vantage point where he would be aware of the enemies all around. You know, beloved, today if you're overcome in the battles that you face, if you're worn out fighting the enemy, if today you're finding the going tough, can I remind you of this? Your shepherd and mine has the greatest vantage point of all. He sits enthroned upon the universe. Isn't that great? He sits enthroned upon the universe. He knows everything that's going on in your life and mine. He knows every attack of the enemy. He knows every slip and every failure and every fall. He's continually watching over us and he's continually watching out for us. And that's why it's so important that you and I seek to keep close to the shepherd in these days. David says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." The protection that is envisaged. Look at the picture that's encouraging. "Thou anointest my head with oil." I've got to pause for a moment here. "Thou anointest my head with oil." At Eastern times, oil was very important, and you know from your reading of the Bible, it was often associated with healing. For example, you remember when the Samaritan found the Jew badly beaten at the side of the road while others passed him by, it says that he poured in oil and wine in an attempt to bring comfort and ease his pain. Remember in James' little epistle, we see that oil was applied. And it was applied to the sick who sought the elders for prayer and for healing. See, in David's day, oil was vitally important, even for the sheep. There was a warm climate. Insects, parasites were often attacking the sheep, and they were very often bitten on the face and the nose because the wool covered the rest of their body. But down along their face, they were bitten, sometimes badly. Do you know what the shepherd would have done? At night, when the sheep would return to the fold, remember there was no gate across the sheepfold, so the shepherd watch them coming in one by one, one by one. And when he saw those that had been bitten, those perhaps who had a little fresh wound after an attack by a wild animal, the shepherd one by one would apply the oil and seek to bring help and comfort to those individual sheep. When I think about that, you know, I see him stand there, caring for and interested in every one of them, the weak and the wounded and the weary. And then I get a picture of the Good Shepherd and how he deals with every single one of us. I'm glad today, beloved, that the Lord doesn't deal with me the way we deal with each other. Absolutely glad about that. But you think about him. He knows the way that I take. He knows the way that you take too. He knows every detail about your life and mine. He doesn't just deal with us and treat us corporately. He deals with us individually. And he deals with us at the point of our greatest need. And there is no one who knows us better today than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you weary this morning? Life been treating you badly, harshly. And just now you feel down and almost out. You're not saying it, but you could. You're just thinking to yourself, Pastor, you don't know how true that is. I just feel this morning that I cannot take anything more. Well, he knows the way that you take. He'll see you through this difficult time. His grace is more than sufficient for you. Are you weak this morning and feeling vulnerable? No fight left in you. No energy left. You dread going to bed tonight because you're not going to sleep, and you dread getting up in the morning because it's going to be more of the same. And that loved one of yours you're waiting, and every day is just the same, spent the same way, and they're draining your energy and they're leaving you at a very low point, and you just feel today you can't go on. You don't have the strength anymore. He says, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. He'll come alongside you. He'll give you what you need. Are you wounded today? Hurting badly? Wounded because of the harsh words of someone else in the family of God, perhaps? What they said has devastated you. Wounded because of the harsh actions of a brother or sister in Christ or a family member? Or just simply wounded by the heat of the battle, you're exhausted and you're hurting inside, and you think that nobody knows and you feel that nobody cares. That's not true. Because the Lord knows and the Lord cares. And brother or sister in Christ, listen, if others know nothing about you today, I'm going to encourage you to go home and come apart from all the circumstances that you're facing and just tell him today how you feel. He already knows that, but just tell him how you feel. Share with him what you're facing. Tell him about your fears. Tell him about your failures. Tell him about all those things that are robbing you of the joy of knowing Christ today, that are taking away from you that which once elated you and brought you close to him. Tell him about them today. Because nobody understands you like Jesus does. Nobody. Others might be sympathetic. Others might be quick to judge. But you have one who not only knows you through and through, he has said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Sometimes we turn to friends, and friends can easily let us down. But there's a friend today that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege just to carry everything to him in prayer. When was the last time, in the midst of your hurt, that you went and you told it to Jesus? Because I'm convinced of this, that the healing process will really only begin to start when we go and tell it to Jesus. David says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, the protection that is envisaged. Thou anointest my head with oil, the picture that is so encouraging. But look at the provision that is enriching. He says this, and I love these words, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. If you go back to the very first verse of Psalm 23, what did David say? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, or Jehovah is my shepherd, and because of that, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. My whole sufficiency is in him. All the resources that I need, they're in him. Everything that I'll ever need, it's in him. And then he comes down the psalm a little bit and he simply says, my cup runneth over. The provision of God toward him had been abundant. Whenever you would have visited an Eastern home in Bible times, If you were coming as a visitor, the host would have greeted you at the door. The visitor was anointed, first of all, with a very fragrant perfume and then given a cup of wine that was overflowing. It was seen, first of all, as a token of love for the visitor. It was a sign of respect and it was a warm welcome to them. But it also meant that while they were in the home, there would be no expense spared and there would be ample provision to meet their every need. And David says here, "My cup runneth over." Do you know what Spurgeon says about that little phrase? He says he had not only enough, a cupful, but more than enough, for he had a cup that overflowed. It's not good to remember in days where every day it seems to be about the credit crunch. And I'm not in any way belittling this or the difficulties associated with it, because many dear people today find themselves in very difficult circumstances. But if you find yourself there today, brother or sister in Christ, if you're there as a family today, you remember this. The Lord over all the years has provided for you, never let you down. He's not going to let you down now. We might not always have the things that we want, but God has said that we will have those things that we need. Just look back. Has life not proved to us time and time again that God is no man's debtor? We are miserable, wretched creatures, don't even deserve the least of God's mercy. And in Christ, He has given us all things richly to enjoy. We are nothing and we deserve nothing, yet we have been so wonderfully and abundantly blessed. Maybe sometimes when we've got too much, we fail to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes to us from His gracious hand. But when we find ourselves in times of need, it's a reminder that it's His hand that we need to turn to. Andrew Bonner born in Edinburgh 3 years before the godly Robert Murray McShane. Both were very close friends. With others, they would have met each Saturday morning at 6:30 to pray together, to study God's word and talk through things pertaining to their ministries. Bonner kept a diary of those days and of his close friendship with McShane. It's no surprise he was asked to talk about him and write about him after his death. But Andrew Bonner also kept a diary of his own exploits as a minister of the gospel. He wrote these words in his diary on the 28th of March, 1892. Listen to this. "If I'm spared until tomorrow, I shall have finished the 82nd year of my pilgrimage. It was in the year 1830 that I found the Savior, or rather, that He found me and led me on His shoulders rejoicing. And I have never parted company with Him these 62 years. In fact, these 82 years He has been with me. And I can honestly say that I have lacked nothing. That I have lacked nothing." The psalmist on another occasion says, "I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." Now David simply puts it, "My cup runneth over." Maybe today it seems your cup's empty. Maybe the days ahead look dark and difficult. But you remember today that He who made provision all over the years in the past, He's the same God with the same abundant supply and with the same giving hand, for he giveth and giveth and giveth again. What a lovely verse this is. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Let's look to him today for his protection, his continuing presence, and for his abundant provision. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes we can be hearers of your word, but not doers also. Sometimes we take things so much for granted that we fail to realize how much we actually owe you. We owe you everything. Apart from your grace, we would have nothing and be nothing. But such has been your grace toward us that you've brought us to yourself. You've brought us into your banqueting house, and your banner over us is love. May each of us today, whatever our circumstances, whether we're weary or weak, worn out or whatever, Father, may we today know your protection upon us. May we know your abiding presence with us, and your continuing provision for us, that we, like David, when the circumstances have changed, will rise up and say like him, I will extol thee, my God. I will praise your name forever. Comfort and encourage us, we pray today, for Jesus' sake.